This is Stu Epperson from the Truth Talk Podcast, connecting current events, pop culture, and theology. And we're so grateful for you that you've chosen the Truth Podcast Network. It's about to start in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, and please share it around with all your friends. Thanks for listening, and thanks for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Today, we take a trip down memory lane as we discuss Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff with his son Travis.
This is the United States champion.
He became my personal savior.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Lithuania, he weighs 123 kilos, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Koloff.
Now, the Devil's Nightmare. Welcome back to another episode of It's Time to Man Up. What a joy to have this guest with me. Now, you may be familiar with the last name Orndorff. You may not be, but how about the nickname Mr. Wonderful? First name Paul. Paul, Mr. Wonderful Orndorff. Well, today, it is my joy to have on the show his son, Travis. Travis, welcome to the Man Up Show.
Thank you so much, Mr. Koloff. I've listened to your show before, and, I've seen, what you're doing in the community, and I love to hear the Devil's Nightmare. We need more men like you standing up for the values and salvation and grace that Jesus Christ provides to all of us. So I'm so grateful to be here and excited to talk to you about, my background. And I hear I get to ask you a couple questions in the end. So I'm preparing right now.
And again, it's such a pleasure to have you on. And of course, anyone who's any fan of wrestling whatsoever, your dad certainly had a storied career in professional wrestling. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I may or may not have had a handful of matches either alongside of or against your dad. I just can't remember. You have so many matches, it's hard to keep them all straight. But let's do this for our listeners out there. Let's give a little backstory on Travis Orndorff and perhaps you're where you live in and you have family you want to tell us about, or give us a little backdrop on Travis.
Yes, sir. So, I was fortunate enough. I was obviously dad was from Tampa, or grew up there. He was originally from Virginia, but I was born in Tampa. My dad was older. So my older brother is 10 years older. He's Paul Parlett Orndorff III. My dad was junior. And my brother was born when my dad was really young and just out of high school. And I came along 10 years later. And ironically, I always tell the story because people are like, was your dad there when you were born? And I'm like, yeah. And then he went and wrestled Ernie Ladd for the NWA title.
Oh, come on. Come on. Ernie the Cat Ladd, for real.
Yeah. Yeah. And ironically, I know B. Brian Blair. Brian, always tells the story of being, at the, in the hospital with dad, and, dad and him come up and he's looking in there and, he's like, which one's mine? And, Brian's like, I think it's the one with all the hair. And, that was always the joke, is I was born with all this hair. And of course, God saw fit to take it away much later in life. But, growing up in the business, we moved from Tampa to like six different places, because the way territories were ran back in the late 70s and early 80s, I was born in 78. And so eventually we ended up settling in Fayetteville, Georgia, so a small town just south of the Atlanta airport. And that's where I grew up. I grew up in a small town with about 80,000 people, lived in a suburb. We lived in the end of a cul-de-sac. It was the appearance of what I would say a normal childhood. The only difference being that dad wasn't, around a lot and was on TV some nights. So, the fame and the popularity obviously started out really when I was 5 or 6 years old, because that's when he went to New York. And so, you know, I had the fortunate, you know, my dad, you know, grew up really poor. And, you know, so when he went into wrestling, it wasn't much of a choice. It was the way to get, you know, him out of, you know, the trailer parks of, you know, Florida. And so, you know, he went the wrestling route, and obviously that was a really tough road, and financially it was tough. Well, by the time I was coming around, you know, dad had done well, and I was, you know, fortunate to go to, you know, private schools. And so I went to a small Montessori school, went to Woodward, and, you know, ended up graduating from a small Christian high school in Fayetteville, Georgia in 96. You know, from there, I had considered going into ministry and felt a calling, went to school for about a semester. And, you know, things went awry, and, you know, that's when I took a left turn in my life. I had become a Christian when I was 18, and, you know, about a year and a half later, well, maybe 2 years later, was when, you know, I you know, it had a lot of hard things happen, and, you know, really, honestly, you know, turned away from Christ at that time, and was bartending, and got into what I would say is, you know, kind of the normal pattern for many kids that grew up in wrestling. You know, started out at a very young age already dealing with addiction, just to be honest. And, you know, but was fortunate that, you know, I had a wife that supported me, and was fortunate to have two beautiful children. My oldest is at college and plans to go to law school. And then my youngest just started out at college at Charleston in his freshman year. So
okay.
I have a beautiful family. I have a miniature Datsun that's over here chewing on my bike tire pump.
Okay.
And I have a beautiful wife named Mayu. And, you know, live up here in North Atlanta, just north of the 285 called Kennesaw. And I currently work as a vice president and a performance manager with a national bank. So doing very well, very grateful, and, you know, have been very blessed. Very blessed.
Well, it absolutely sounds like it, and so we're going to break some of that down, some of what you just shared there. Let's start with before we dive into, you know, a little bit more about you know, your personal life story and that journey. Let's go back for a moment to, you know, you talked about wrestling, and a lot of fans know, and some don't realize that wrestling was very territorial back in the day, before, you know, the explosion of pay-per-view and even closed circuit television and the NWA, eventually WCW, WWF becomes WWE, and all of that happens. And so, yeah, for those who don't know, you know, you mentioned your dad traveling around to different territories, and if anyone knew or were familiar with territories, it was mainly through magazines like Pro Wrestling Illustrated with Bill Apter, and you know, a lot of fans would tell me they used to couldn't wait to go down to the 7-Eleven to get that magazine to see who was in the top 10, or, you know, who was the champion for XYZ territory, and so much fun to hear those stories. Share with our listeners, Travis, what's maybe a couple of stories, if you got a couple short stories that wrestling related that maybe you remember. I mean, did you go to matches with your dad? Did you not? Or do you remember? I mean, you mentioned the match against Ernie the Cat Ladd, but what do you remember most about your dad's career?
So, you know, so I have a little small podcast that we do on the side called Some Kind of Wonderful. And, you know, after my dad passed, I really wanted to put in perspective what it really was like to grow up as a child with a father in a very niche field, right? And also the fame. And, you know, people understood when they watched a movie and somebody killed somebody else that it was fake. But with wrestling, they believed it. Everything had a different perspective because in the personas that they built, you know, when my dad left the ring, he was Paul Orndorff, but not to fans. You know, Brad Pitt leaves a movie, he's Brad Pitt. So I was very fortunate that my dad was a little bit older, you know, when he went to New York, he was 32. And I can tell you, my dad was, first of all, my dad and I were best friends. And I probably spent at least 4 to 6 weeks, maybe 2 to 4 weeks some years, but at least 4 to 6 weeks most years with him on the road. So, you know, back in the territory days, I wouldn't have been able to do that. I know that we lived in, before we moved to Fayetteville, we lived in like Oklahoma, Tennessee, North Carolina, Louisiana down in Shreveport, and, you know, then Atlanta. So, you know, he finally settled when he was in New York. So, you know, traveling him was a little bit easier. But I can tell you, we lived in Fayetteville and the Delta Redcoats, you know, back in the day. Do you remember them? They would come and, you know, escort you if you were, dad had a million sky miles, which was unheard of in the 80s. And, you know, they would come pick me up and take me to the airport and check me in on a plane, and dad or somebody would be there to pick me up.
Boy, that's changed.
Completely. Yeah. But oh, I remember going. The Delta Redcoat lived down the street. He would just come pick me up at the house.
That's amazing. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Nothing you would think of it. I promise. I didn't fly coach until I started working for Best Buy, like in the, you know, when I was working for them as a manager.
Wow.
And they were traveling. I was like, this is horrible. Like everywhere I went, we had the sky miles. We'd get upgraded.
Right.
We sat in the top of the bus of the, we went to Australia for a month when I was 13. And, you know, we were in the upper deck of the airplane. So I very much got to travel and was spoiled and didn't realize it till much later. But, you know, the times and all the things that I got to do with my dad were absolutely amazing. Every one of those. But I think the ones I would share the most it was during during the mid 80s, 85, 86. And it was during the Hogan heel run, and we were up north. and you know, I was there at Madison Square Garden for several of the big matches. But what people don't understand is I never once saw one of my dad's wrestling matches till I was like 17.
Wow.
I mean, I saw WrestleMania on closed circuit at the Omni when I was like 6, but you know, we didn't sit around and watch matches. And when I was on the road with him, I was in the dressing room.
Yeah,
with
in back, right? Yeah.
And even till I remember when we were down for WCW down in Orlando, and we would get a cabana for like, you know, 2 months while they were filming at MGM Studios. Right? I didn't watch a match. I was sitting there hanging out with my dad.
Yeah.
And when I was even younger. And so, like, JYD was around, and Nick Bockwinkel. I mean, those guys taught me how to play guitar while I was sitting in the back for 4 or 5 hours before a match. You know, JYD would sit there and play poker with me. Like, that's where I learned half these skills at 8 or 9 years old.
Okay, hold on. Time out. So, Junkyard Dog and Nick Bockwinkel taught you how to play guitar and taught you how to play poker?
Yes. Now, Nick was later. I was probably 14, 15. He got me into it. I ended up buying a guitar and going to get lessons.
Come on.
But we were with JYD all the time, right?
So yeah.
These guys, it was, you know, when I would go out with him for 2 or 3 weeks, even though USA was playing once a week, they were hitting different towns and wrestling the same match 4 or 5 different places.
Right.
You just may only see it that Saturday.
That's right.
So we would be with, like, if Dad was wrestling Tito, we went from town to town to town with Tito, riding together. You know, my dad always said, you know, Republicans and Democrats come out of different ends of the aisle, but make no mistake, they meet up in the back. You know, it's the same thing with wrestling.
Ooh, truth bomb. Come on,
like
right
that?
There.
You would.
That's good, Travis. That's
thank
good.
Thank you.
Keep
so
going.
The story I'll really kind of come back to, because it was, you know, when I got older, people knew, you know, by 87, it was sports entertainment. So
right.
There was an 87 to 92 where there was hostility about even talking about wrestling, because either you loved it or you just decided it was complete crap and you were mad at the world because of conspiracy theories.
Right.
So that period of time is really when, you got to understand, when my dad was really famous, the only people who would have talked to me about wrestling would have been the teachers, not the students. They were 6 years old. They didn't watch wrestling.
Right.
You know, and so it wasn't till later in life, like I was 21, and this guy named Sammy came up to me and he started apologizing. And I'm like, what are you apologizing for? He's like, man, I was mad at you for years. And I knew he quit talking to me when we were like 7, when we played T-ball, and we didn't talk till we were like 19. And he finally was like, yeah, I was mad at you. Your dad turned on Hogan. And it just made me so mad that I just hated you. He's like, it took me 15 years to realize that's why I was mad at you. He's like, I kept hanging out with you. I was like, he's not that bad. And he's like, I realized I was mad at you because of your dad.
Oh, my goodness.
So there would be these weird little elements that didn't happen at the time, but I realized the impact they had later. But Dad and I were out on the road, and as usual, the heat was outrageous, right? And obviously, this is during when everybody believed it. Dad, you know, had piledrived Hogan. He gets out of the ring. He puts the towel over his head. He throws on some shorts. I don't even think he took his tights off. And we get in the back of an ambulance because they're driving us down to our car so that we can go drive to the next town and, you know, do the same thing over and over again. Well, somebody tipped off the fan. So we get down to our car, and we're in a Cadillac, and we start to pull out, and all the fans bum rush the car.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com because you are number one.
Hi, Nikita Koloff. Be sure to check out the Man Up Show, now available on television, broadcast, and podcast. Go to MorningstarTV.com or the Truth Radio Network. Check out your local listings, or better yet, download the Truth Network app today.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries, for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net. and donate today.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
And Dad is throwing me into the floorboard, and he's got his hand down on the back of my head, keeping me in the floorboard while he's trying to drive through this crowd of people as they're trying to tilt the car over, until the police came out and, you know, pushed him off, and we got out of town. But, you know, it was so funny. I could go to a Cracker Barrel with him when we were on the road, and everybody would come up and ask for an autograph. But if we were leaving the stadium, there were safety issues.
Different story. Yeah, I can, Travis, so relate to that.
I know you can.
As the Russian nightmare, when I was
the 80s and the Reagan administration, people do not understand how volatile that your gimmick was.
And the villain I was, and Uncle Ivan Koloff, and you know, and the death threats and all of that. So some amazing. Listen, those are some amazing insights that you just shared, and I appreciate that. And you had shared something with me before we came on air that really piqued my interest, and I think the fans would love to hear as well. You know, you talked about your personal journey. I want to transition a little bit here, get more into your personal journey here on the last part of the show here, so we can cover that, because I think it's important for the people to hear that side of it as well. You mentioned your family, your children, your lovely wife, and how you had come to Christ, but then kind of turned away. But you had mentioned about your dad. You were there, witnessed your dad surrender his life to Christ as well.
Yeah. So I'll tell you the story. Dad, you know, we were living in Fayetteville, Georgia, and best I understand, there was this newer pastor. And I say newer pastor, if you could see me right now, Dad always said I had a face for radio, but he didn't realize I have hand gestures that conflict with that. So I'm putting quotes around this because it was Dr. Ike Reichert.
I know Dr. Ike. I do.
I knew you would.
Yep.
So this new pastor started out in this little church called New Hope Baptist in Fayetteville, Georgia. And, you know, Dr. Ike actually was able to do the my dad's funeral last year. So it was, you know, such a blessing to see that journey. But so Dad was working out, as usual, in Fayetteville. And, you know, Dr. Ike, I can't believe he did this, walks up to him and just goes, And you know, people never understand this because everybody at the gym wears headphones now. But back in the day, we used to communicate.
Yeah, you used to actually talk to each other in the gym. Yeah.
Yeah, and spot each other and stuff like that.
Right,
So Dr. Ike walks up to him and goes, I just don't think this gym is big enough for the both of us.
I remember. He shared some of this at the funeral, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, you know, I remember now. I remember him sharing that at the funeral. Yes, okay.
So the story is, and this is the part that there's two parts to it I remember, was we go to church that Sunday. You know, it might have been a few weeks later, but, you know, Dr. Ike invited him to church. And to my knowledge and memory, I had never gone to church. And we went in, and I remember standing next to Dad, and I don't remember it as detailed as Ike and my mom do, but, you know, I remember being there. And, you know, Dad, really probably one of the first times, had been in a church, and he broke into a sweat. Like, and my dad was a sweater. We kept the house at 66. You could hang meat in my house, is what most of my friends would come over with, like, sweaters in the
middle of the house. A meat locker. Yeah, it was a meat locker.
Yeah. So Dad is pouring sweat. And anyway, Dad leaves, that day. And, like that night or the next morning, he's calling Ike and he's like, we need to talk. And Ike's like, no.
What'd you do to me? What'd you do to me? Planted a seed. He planted a seed.
So Dad comes in and he goes, what happened? And Ike says, this is Christ. Yeah. And so my mentor and one of my best friends to this day, Hugh Kirby, who's the intergenerational minister down in at New Hope in Fayetteville still, you know, Dad gave his life to Christ. And, you know, I can remember at that moment, and you got to know Dad had a, you know, kind of a volatile temper, you know, whether it be his sleep was disrupted, he was on the road, or everything under the sun you can fathom, just, you know, all the inner turmoils and stuff that comes from the road and all that stuff.
Sounds like Moses, but okay. Anyway.
Yeah. and so Dad, when I tell you Dad had an immediate change in conscience, I can tell you now, and I can't speak for my brother because my brother has different stories, but I can tell you from the time that I can remember, I literally don't remember my father using profanity more than a handful of times. Now, I have been on the road with the boys.
Sure.
And the F word is the most used word in the language.
Yeah,
it literally is a filler between words.
Right. It's part of their vocabulary. Right.
It's just part of it. Right. So seeing Dad have this verbal transformation and then going to Bible studies, or me walking into his room reading the Bible, and Dad would tell me, look, I got to read this same chapter 5 times. But he was consistent with his effort, and you could see his desire to pursue Christ. So it wasn't a coincidence. About 6 months later, you know, he's speaking and he's giving his testimony at New Hope. And obviously that carried out, and he gave his testimony at several churches over the years. But that's when Dad left WWF.
Gotcha.
I think it was a, you know, he was hurt, but I think he had a conscience against obviously what happens on the road. And you go back to the fact that these guys had rough childhoods in most cases, you know, not many parental figures. You put them on the road with 3 channels, and you leave them on the road away from their families for weeks at a time without any real companionship or somebody that, you know, other than guys that are encouraging the same behavior. So to see Dad want to walk away from that, I didn't understand at the time.
It was a big deal.
He just wouldn't let me go into acting.
Yeah, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
For sure. And then from there, Dad left WWF and he started a bowling center in Fayetteville called Mr. Wonderful's, you know, Fayetteville Bowling Center. And to my knowledge, and granted, it didn't work out, but Dad opened it and he wouldn't sell alcohol.
Okay.
He was like, I'm not going to be a part of that. So
he was committed.
He was like, I don't want to be part of this. So he opened the bowling center. He ended up losing it, and the owners that bought it ended up putting alcohol in it, and it's still open today. But Dad just couldn't do it. And unfortunately, after that, obviously, he went back to WCW. But Dad's faith in Christ, from what I remember, from the time that I saw him give his life to Christ to his, you know, last real time where he could communicate, which was several years ago, you know, when his mind was really still there. If there's one thing that he never doubted, now he doubted his own shame and I think there was some mental health things that he never really, you know, got over from his childhood, but his faith in Christ never wavered.
Amen.
He knew exactly where he was headed when he passed. He knew he was forgiven. He knew that Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sins. And when I tell you that's something he was never ashamed of, from the time I saw him become a Christian to the time he couldn't communicate, that is something when people ask me, what do you want your people to know about your dad's legacy? Is my dad thought Jesus was Mr. Wonderful.
That's good, Travis. That's good. Well, listen, we've only got a few minutes left, believe it or not. The time just flies on the show.
That's because I talk so much. I apologize.
Well, you shared what you felt led to share. So it's okay. It just means, we have to do another show another time with more of your story. But I do want to get to this before we run out of time. You know, you talked about substance abuse, addiction, and substance abuse, and we've literally give me like 60 seconds about you know, Cherokee County and the Paramore Pathway Counseling, as you have found your way back to Christ, overcome the addictions, and now you're working. I need 60 seconds of what you're doing to help others overcome addiction.
Absolutely. And the short version is, and I'm going to share with anybody, don't be afraid. All of us have sinned in a way that keeps us from God, but God's righteousness and the blood of Jesus Christ is what makes us righteous. So it's not on what we do, but what he's done for us. And, you know, I struggle with alcohol addiction. I'll be completely transparent. Drugs were involved at different points in time, and I was abused when I was a kid, and several years ago, I started worked with a program through Church at Johnson Ferry, and that, you know, about 6 years ago, when God hit me upside the head with a 4x4, put me on that path. And since then, it's not a journey where you just get over addiction. I'm still involved in counseling. You know, I currently work with a group called Pathlight Counseling out of Woodstock, and Britt Perrymore, who's a counselor there. And whether you use him or anybody else, I would just hope that you reach out, because there's so much support nowadays. And cognitive behavioral therapy is great, but there's positive psychology and really grounding yourself in God's truths so that you can live a life of freedom. That God gave us one expectation, to enjoy life as much as possible. And that's what he wants, for that light to shine on top of a hill for other people to see, so that people know where fulfillment comes. So Pathlight Counseling, there's a drug summit coming to Cherokee County, and we're looking for people to participate and bring awareness, especially around the youth today. You just don't understand how, you know, people are exposed to meth and cocaine and things at ages that we can't fathom, like in their early teens. It's so rampant and available. So this is an awareness piece and really trying to destigmatize addiction so that we can get people the support, the love, and the grace they deserve.
Well, you have an amazing story, Travis, and I think really for all of our listeners out there today, really what you illustrate is, even when we surrender our life to Christ, it's not necessarily, you might say, a guarantee that we're going to be set free of anything and everything. Now, we can. I've seen that happen. When Uncle Ivan came to Christ, he was set free of drug addiction, alcohol, tobacco addiction. I think, like your dad, I don't know another cuss word ever came out of Ivan's mouth again after surrendering his life to Christ. And yet, the flip side of that is there are still challenges. We're all faced with different challenges in life, right? Whether it's,
yes,
you know, early on addictions but we know at the end of the day, it's all about the heart. You know, God looks at the heart, and the heart of a man, heart of a woman. Travis, thank you for being on the Man Up Show today and sharing some of these stories.
Hey, thank you so much. I look forward to another opportunity.
Thanks for tuning in. God bless you, and catch you again on another episode.
This podcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers, support, and generous gifts. May God bless you for your continual contributions. Go to koloff.net and donate today.
Nikita Koloff here, and I am excited. Did you hear the huge announcement? The big announcement? Well, maybe it's a minor announcement. Anyway, Facebook, go look up my new fan page, Nikita Koloff Fans, and like it. And follow today.
All feet agree, Clemens Carpet is where you need to be. With carpet, vinyl, tile, and hardwood from the top brands, Clemens Carpet does it right from beginning to install. Voted number one by you in the Reader's Choice Awards. Doug, Chad, Benny, Pee-wee, and the team at Clemens Carpet look forward to seeing and serving you soon.
This is Nikita Koloff, and I want to thank Clemens Carpet for supporting my new show, Man Up, Saturday afternoon at 12:30 on the Truth Network.
This is the Truth Network.